for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2008 Labor Day Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday afternoon, August the 30th, 2008. Joey McGee is the speaker of this service, teaching on the wise and foolish virgins. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
I saw so much pride in my life. I couldn't understand what kind of pride he was talking about. I wasn't questioning him. I knew he was right, but I didn't get what he was trying to say. Because prior to then, I'd read the Word and I'd say, you know, this, my husband needs to read this. You know, boy, that applies to my daddy. Oh, listen, this is my sister right here. But this time, I say, oh, God, that's me. Oh, God, that's me. Oh, God, that's me. And on the third day, I was totally healed except one side of my nose was just a little stuffed up. So then I pulled up all the scriptures on nose and repented over all the nose scriptures. And when I got to the one with Leviathan, it says, can you put a rope in his nose? I went, oh, dear God, I feel like I got a rope in my nose. And I had a vision of God trying to restrain my mouth. Because in earlier years, I don't do this now, but I could go out to eat with somebody and I'd talk so much I'd come away being condemned about nothing. And now I don't talk that much. Sometimes I don't. I mean, I know you find that hard to believe. But I'm a lot quieter than I used to be. But anyway, I said, oh, dear God, I feel like I've got a rope in my nose. And I said, please forgive me. And my nose opened and allergies were healed in 1992. Totally healed. But the answer was in God's Word. I don't take any medication whatsoever. And a few years ago, I was getting ready to go to Africa just before 9/11. And the doctor said, he said, what kind of medication are you on? I said, I'm not on anything. He said, that is very unusual to be your age and not be on medicine. Medicine is sorcery. It puts a Band-Aid on a spiritual problem. What it does, you're not conscious of it, but it unconsciously you're trying to bypass the sin issue. And if you're on medication, please know I'm not condemning you, but I'm just telling you, start repenting over the Word. And start getting deliverance, start repenting, and you'll need it less and less. Every side effect is another disease. And Henry Wright says that you can't get healed of side effects without quitting the drugs. And that's true. In fact, the number one killer of people in the United States is heart disease. Number two, last time I checked, was cancer. It could be cancer, number one. I don't know. Maybe Velma could tell me. Number three is medical mistakes. And number four is prescription drugs. Not even illegal drugs, prescription drugs. So that is a wrong path. So ask God to show you how to get on His path and get in His Word. There is no hope of healing unless you get in God's Word. Now, you know, they can patch you up and shift something around, but there's no permanent healing. I came here Thursday with a, never have this, had a, came here with a, what do you call it, cystitis, where it's a infection in urethra. Anyway, today I'm healed. Bless God. I didn't take antibiotics. Last time I took antibiotics, and I think that affected my eyes. I'm thinking, I don't want nothing to mess my eyes up. I went to the dentist just before this thing happened with my eyes and got a root canal. And my dad died, and so I was in San Antonio, and I was having to take Advil for the pain. Couldn't get to the dentist. And I didn't know this. I didn't read it because another dentist had told me to take Advil. And I was taking, it says don't take six in a 24-hour period. I was taking two or three every 3 hours or 4 hours. I'm thinking, no wonder, God, mercy on my eyes. Anyway, Luke 11:36 says, therefore, if your whole body is full of light and no darkness in it, there's no dark part in it, your whole body will be illumined as when a lamp is illumined, you'll be illumined with its rays. Hallelujah. Matthew 7 says, you hypocrite, get the beam out of your eye before you get the speck out of someone else's. Right? There's the floaters in the eyes right there. I didn't think I had floaters, but I did. Anyway, the other day I was in my prayer room, and I live out in the country, so I can scream as loud as I want to. And, you know, there's a difference between calling out and crying out and prayer. The Bible makes a distinction between those two. And so I said, God, get the beam! I want the beam out of my eye! I don't know how to get it out! But you know what? He's going to answer that prayer because he's going to show me the beam in my eye, which is the logs in my eyes. Okay, turn to Matthew 25, and I want you to see some things about, and as we read these scriptures, I want you to be asking the Lord, are you a wise virgin, or are you a foolish virgin? Matthew 25, verse 1. I want you to see some things about these virgins. First of all, they all said under the word, they all thought they were the bride of Christ. There were 5 foolish and 5 wise ones. It says, then the kingdom of heaven will be compared. I'm sorry, there were 10 virgins. No, there were 5 each. Okay. 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were foolish, which represents the false church. It represents about 90. Howard Pittman says 10% of the church is saved. Leonard Ravenhill said 2% of the church is saved. But the foolish virgins represent the church member that's lost. They sit under the word. It says, and 5 of them were foolish and 5 were prudent. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. Okay, put there by oil, put Acts 5:32 there, that says he gives the Holy Spirit to those who obey him. Let me say that again. He gives the Holy Spirit to those who obey him. Hold your place and go to John chapter 2. In verse 23, it says, now when he, Jesus, was in Jerusalem at the Passover during the feast, many believed in his name, beholding his signs which he was doing. But Jesus, on his part, was not entrusting himself to them, for he knew all men. You see, when you receive Jesus as Savior, if God knows your heart and your heart is not turned 100% to Him, He doesn't give Himself to you. And that explains why so many people in the church accept Jesus, because they don't hear the Word of God, that they've got to walk in repentance. You don't obey to be saved. You obey because you are, because you've got a new heart. God has taken out your stony heart and given you a new heart. But if when you receive Jesus and your heart was not right toward Him, then He didn't entrust Himself to you, and that's why the church is full of lost people. Okay, back to Matthew 25. It says, but the prudent took oil in flasks, so they had the Holy Spirit, along with their lamps. Now while the bridegroom was delaying, they all got drowsy and began to sleep. Now, where it says, for the foolish took their lamps and they took no oil with them. Proverbs, or Matthew 6 says the whole body is full of light. If the eyes clear, the whole body is full of light. So the foolish ones had clear eyes. The wise ones had clear eyes. The foolish had bad eyes and full of darkness. But at midnight, there was a shout, behold, the bridegroom, come out to meet him. Then all those arose and trimmed their lamps, which means to put in order, make right, make ready, prepare, decor, by implying the adorning of the world. So they all rose to trim their lamps, and the foolish and the prudent, and the foolish said to the prudent, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. Now it says in Luke that we're to be dressed in readiness and keep our lamps alight. So the way you keep your lamp lit up is through repentance. Continue. It never stops. You get a rest in between times, but until we get to heaven, this is how we work out our salvation with fear and trembling. It says, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the prudent answered, saying, no, there'll not be enough for us, and you two instead go to the dealers. Now, there's a lot of dealers out there. They're called false prophets. And we thought that they ended with Jeremiah, but they're more now than they ever were. Go to the dealers because they're not even dealing with sin. They'll tell you to repent one word out of every million they say. Just or they'll use the scripture every now and then so you'll think that what they're saying is right. But if you'll look through it, you'll see the mixture. You know, I can take a pitcher of water, clear, pure water, purified water, and put one drop of arsenic in it, and it's still poison. And so God doesn't want you to be drinking mixture. He wants you to be drinking the living water from the Word. It says, those who were ready went out with him to meet to the wedding feast, and the, let me back up. But the prudent answered, saying, no, there will be not enough for us, and you two go instead to the dealers and buy some for yourselves. And while they were going away to make the purchase, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. So only the wise got in. And later the other virgins also came saying, Lord, Lord, open up for us. So they were praying. They thought they were the bride of Christ. But he answered and said, truly, truly, I say to you, I do not know you. Be on the alert then. You do not know what the day nor the hour. In Matthew, go to Matthew chapter 7, please. Verse 15. Well, let's back up to 14. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and few are those who find it. Okay, there's a prophecy that was put out some years ago by Paul Kane and also through this Lakeland thing that 2/3 of the world was going to be saved. That all the hospitals in the world were going to be opened in one day and people were going to be seeking the Lord. They'd be seeking the Antichrist, but they won't be seeking the Lord. You see, that's a false prophecy. If you know the Word of God, you know that that's off the wall. Because the Word of God is a plumb line to keep me in line and to keep you in line. And every time we violate the Word of God, we've got a demon problem. I used to be told that, oh, you have to sin a lot before you have a demon problem. The minute you step out from under God's will, you are a target. Psalms 41:11 says, I know God is pleased with me when my enemy is not shouting triumph over me. Verse 17, even so every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then you know them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he, now here he's telling you right here, he's who's going to enter, but he who does the will of my Father who's in heaven. Now we don't do the will of the Father to get saved except to yield our life to him and receive Jesus. But when we're born again, when you're born again, obedience is a good fruit of salvation. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And then I'll declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me. Now, he didn't tell them that because they were prophesying in his name and preaching in his name and casting out demons in his name. He tells you right here why he said he never knew you, never knew them. He said, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness, practice rebellion. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them may be compared to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and burst against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded upon the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act upon them will be like a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and burst against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Now, I feel like some of you are thinking, oh, dear God, I don't know how to do this. I had to grow up being a performer, and I don't know how to perform. You know what? God's going to let you wear you out with that. He don't want you to perform. He just wants you to give up. Just yield. He's the potter. The clay does one thing, yield. The potter does everything else. And if you're a performer, you're kind of busy, turn that potter's wheel to make yourself into something that's acceptable to God. And don't think you have to get everything perfect before you can come. I used to think that. If I prayed for 2 hours, I'd spend an hour and 45 minutes trying to get good enough to pray. Hello? Anybody like that? And you know what? One day a pastor preached a message. He said that if you confess your sins and you're truly sorry, he separates your sin as far as the east is from the west. And you can fly east and west and never get there. You can fly north and south and get there. And he said, if you confess your sins and you truly repent of what you've done, then the next voice you hear that tells you that, it's the devil, and tell him to be gone because God's already forgotten your sin. So don't think you're going to get good enough. You never will. It's all by His grace. But you have to yield. That's your part. And His part is to make you holy and righteous. Hallelujah. Takes a lot of pressure off, doesn't it? That all I have to do is say, here I am, God, mess and all. The potter, you know, a potter in the olden days, the potter, they dug the clay out of the ground. There was a lot of rocks and sticks and grass. It's the potter's job to take out those rocks and those sticks and those grass and that junk. But you got to yield. And to yield means you have to choose His way, and that means you have to give up your life to the control of the potter. You have to put yourself in His hand. You can't have one foot on the potter's wheel and one foot off. That's double-mindedness. Okay, the Bible characterizes people in two categories, the prudent and the foolish. And I want you to ask yourself, am I the prudent or am I the foolish? Prudent means crafty, shrewd, sensible toward wisdom and righteousness. Wisdom applied to practice, cautious, practically wise, careful of consequences, foreseeing by instinct, circumspect, looking on all sides and looking around. The Bible says a prudent man sees the evil and he says, I can't go that way. That is a dangerous path. I'll go this way, God's path. Stay on the highway of holiness. Wise means wise, shrewd, skillful, having the power of and judging correctly or discriminating between what is proper and improper, what is true and what is false, possessed of discernment, judgment, discretion, ability to wisely separate without the influence of another. You see, idols and darkness block my discernment. I lose my discernment because of idolatry. It says that in Deuteronomy 32. Ezekiel 14 says, when I have idols, I put before my face the stumbling block of my iniquity. And you say, well, you know, I don't worship Buddha, and I don't worship Kali, and I don't worship Semiramis, and I don't... all of these false prophets, what they're doing is worshiping Tammuz, the sun god. But you know what our idols are today? You've got to love me. You've got to accept me. You've got to meet my needs. You've got to give me all the sex I want. You've got to give me my way. You've got to let me have money. You've got to protect me. You've got to talk to me. You've got to communicate to me. It's everything your mother and daddy didn't do when they violated the Word of God in training you up. Those are the idols that we have to deal with. Your things that you have to overcome are the things that you didn't overcome in childhood. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. Train up a child in the way he should not go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. We all have our set of things to overcome. What we didn't overcome growing up, now that's the land we have to possess. Amen? we have to let God discipline us, to retrain us, to correct those areas that mom and dad didn't correct. And the Bible says, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Every place my daddy or mother violated this word in training me up, I have an automatic issue. I may not feel angry. I may not feel upset. But I have an automatic anger issue. Because if I don't turn to God, I turn to a false god. And wherever there's a false god, there's anger, there's button pushers, there's fear. Just read Deuteronomy 32 and you'll see, because they worship gods, God turned them over to jealousy, anger, terror. They lost their understanding, bitterness. They had the wrong vine, and they were wounded. But the minute you go to God, He has mercy and He'll deliver you. Foolish means senseless, void of understanding and sound judgment, weak in intellect, applied to general counsel. Foolish in the Bible means naive, which means simple or silly or foolish. And in Ezekiel 44, when it talks about the two priesthoods, the simple, easily seduced will follow after the false prophet. The remnant, those that are let God purify them, they'll only follow after somebody that separates the holy from the profane. And so a naive, foolish person is easily seduced. Now, I'm just going to read some scriptures, and as I do this, I'd like for y'all to be repenting. But Proverbs 12:16 says, a prudent man, he'll deal with his anger and his grief. Proverbs 12:23, if you want to look these up and repent over them some more, says, a prudent man does not blab everything he knows. I'm paraphrasing. He's discreet in saying what God tells him to say. And I liked what Brother Oliver said last night. Ministry is going where Jesus says go, doing what He said go where He says go, for how long He says go, to do what He says do. It's not me just stepping out, decreeing and naming it, claiming it, and blabbing it, and grabbing it. That's arrogant. We can claim things, but we can carry that to an extreme. Proverbs 13:16 says, every prudent man acts with knowledge, but a fool displays folly. So a prudent man walks in the knowledge God's given him, but a fool displays his foolishness. Proverbs 14:8. Can somebody tell me what time it is? Because I can't. It's 4:25? Okay. A prudent man is careful to see what he is, that he's walking in God's way and is seeking His wisdom to find it. Proverbs 14:8. Proverbs 14:15 says, the naive believe everything, but the prudent man considers his steps. You know, today if you question one of these false prophets, or you can question their anointing, or you question their glory, or you question what they're doing, they say that you've got a religious spirit. They say you're a Pharisee, you're legalistic. It's just the opposite. If I'm in rebellion, I'm legalistic, because I've come back under the law. It's only as I submit and walk in the Spirit and my life produces love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control, there is no law. So if my life is not, it's just the opposite. When God tells us to test the spirits to see if they're of God. Proverbs 18:15 says, the mind of the prudent acquires knowledge and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. Proverbs 19:14 says, houses and wealth are an influence from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. So men, if you have a godly wife, instead of bucking up, thank God for a godly wife. The prudent, Proverbs 22:3 says, the prudent see the evil and hide themselves, but the naive, the simple, silly, easily seduced, they just go right on and suffer for it. Amos 5:13 says a prudent person keeps quiet when it's appropriate. Psalms 19:7 says the law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Psalms 107:43 says the wise give heed to God's word. Proverbs 1:5 says that the wise not only hear the word, but they increase in learning. Go to Proverbs Chapter 1, please. It says, turn to my reproof in verse 23. Well, let's back up to 22. How long, O naive simple, foolish, silly ones, well, you love simplicity. And scoffers delight in themselves in scoffing, and fools hate knowledge. That knowledge keeps us from perishing. God says, my people perish for the lack of knowledge. Turn to my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. If you'll just turn to me, you'll hear me. Because I called and you refused, I stretched out my hand and no one paid attention. You wouldn't listen to me. And you neglected all my counsel and did not want my reproof. Well, I will even laugh at your calamity. I'll mock when your dread comes, like a storm, and your calamity comes on like a whirlwind. When distress and anguish come on you, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they shall not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, which is to turn away from evil. They would not accept my counsel. They spurned all my reproof. So they shall eat the fruit of their own ways and be satiated with their own devices. For the waywardness of the naive shall kill them, and the complacency of fools shall destroy them. But he who listens to me shall live securely and shall be at ease from the dread of evil. And you know what? We're living in days that evil is everywhere you look. And you've been hearing the time is short. I believe the time is short. Then Americans are going to go through, like Glenn said, the electric was off for 5 days. It may be off for longer than that. And we need to have our lives right with the Lord. We need to quit doing some things we know that we should not be doing. We need to purify ourselves, and it's all by God's grace. If you get on the potter's wheel through yielding to Him, you can just say, God, I am a mess. I don't know how to get out of this, but here I am. Tell me what to do, and He'll do it. Amen? And you know what? Don't ask Him for step number 3004. Say, God, what's step number one? Okay, Lord, I'll obey. Now step two, God. Okay, Lord, I obey. And He'll walk you right out of it. Okay? But you're not going to get it, and I'm not either, if we don't obey. Okay, Proverbs 8:33 says, heed instruction and be wise and do not neglect it. The wise loves those who correct him. You correct a fool and he'll hate you. Correct a wise person and he'll love you. That's Proverbs 9:8. Husbands and wives, when your wife starts to try to correct you or your husband starts to correct you, don't hate him for it or hate her for it. Thank God you got somebody that's speaking into your life. Proverbs 9:9 says, give instruction to a wise man and he's going to get wiser. But you teach a righteous man and he'll increase in learning. Proverbs 10:1 says, a wise son makes his father glad, but a foolish son is a grief to his mother. You know, right there could be a root to cancer in women of having a son or daughter that's a grief to them. You know, I've had to forgive my son for living a homosexual lifestyle and causing me 20 years of grief. But praise God, he's in heaven. Died of AIDS. It took AIDS to save him. I thank God for that dreaded disease. It was a discipline. He said had it not been for the affliction that God put on him, his favorite verse was, before I was afflicted, I went astray. It was good that I was afflicted because now I keep his word. It's amazing what a little spanking will do. It's amazing what this bad eye diagnosis did for me. It's amazing how you want to toe the mark. You know, spankings are good from God. It's because He loves us. He disciplines us. In everything you go through, say, God, what are you trying to teach me through this? He just loves to tell you. The wise win souls. Proverbs 11:30. Let me say this. They say, and all these people are getting saved everywhere. To what? There's no repentance. Right? You don't hear them repenting. Did you know that a harlot will produce a harlot? A disciple will produce a disciple. Disciples are disciplined ones. So if people are being led to that thing going on out there, they're being led to New Age witchcraft with another gospel and another Jesus. But you know what? That's also a conviction that we need to get out and start telling people about Jesus ourselves. Proverbs 12:18 says the tongue of the wise brings healing. Proverbs 12:15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. The teaching of a wise teacher will turn people aside from sin. Proverbs 13:14. The wise build their house on a rock. You know, I'm not going to read all these because what you do, when you get home, look up all the scriptures on prudent, all the scriptures on wise, all the scriptures on foolish and simple, and repent over every one of them. Be amazed at the deliverance you get when you just repent over the Word. Now when I read the Bible, I repent over everything I read, and I get delivered, and within 10 minutes, I'm wiping tears off my cheeks. I'm getting delivered. That's what it means to be washed with water in the Word. Matthew 13:43 says, then the righteous at the end of the age will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. And I love this scripture in Daniel. Daniel 12:13 says, and those who have insight will shine brightly like the brightness of the expanse of heaven, and those who lead the many to righteousness will be like the stars of heaven. What a promise. Don't you want to be like a star in heaven, leading people to righteousness? Go to Romans 13, and we'll end with that one. Maybe you'll get a little break before dinner. Romans 13, verse 11. It says, and this do, knowing the time, that it is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep. For now salvation is nearer to us than when we believed. The night is almost gone, and the day is at hand. Number one, let us therefore lay aside the deeds of darkness. That's the things that make you angry, the things that make you pout, the things that make you rear up and react. Lay aside your sexual sin. Lay aside the food. Lay aside whatever God is telling you to lay aside. Lay aside the deeds of darkness. And number two, put on the armor of light. You see, in the days that we're living, light is your armor. And the more you repent, the brighter your light and the more your protection. Let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness. And drunkenness is food drunkenness, alcohol drunkenness, and prescription drug drunkenness, and illegal drug drunkenness. Not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regards to its lust. You know, that's a hard word. It's hard. You know, sometimes we could, in the past, we could sit and watch TV for hours. I don't even turn it on anymore. It was years I never even turned it on, and then I got interested when President Bush got to be elected. I got interested and started watching the news media, and I got interested in all the things. And it is Tokyo Rose propaganda. You know, I don't know if y'all are probably too young for Tokyo Rose, but I think she was someone during the war that would try to discourage the soldiers. Anyway, y'all probably know about more. Some of y'all may know more about Tokyo Rose. But it's just a bunch of nothing. You're getting programmed by the one world government. They're dropping in little words. And you need to have on the armor of light. You need to get in the Word. If you call yourself a Christian and you're not in the Word of God, you are in grave danger. So it's something that you have to make yourself do. You have to discipline yourself to do it. And if you wait too late in the day, there's 90 million things that will come up to try to distract you from the Word. Okay, stand up. And it's a hard word, but can I tell you, it is a purifying word if you listen to it. If you listen to it, it'll change your life, change your future, change the way you live. So, Lord, in Jesus' name, am I a wise virgin or a foolish virgin? Lord, I ask for the truth that makes me free. What do I need to repent of, Lord? You also need to repent of anybody that has unholy hands that has laid hands on you. Any of these bless me lines or any of that. And then just sit down when you're through repenting. Not till you're through. If you're through repenting, sit down. But if you're not, just keep standing until you repent.
Amen.
Yes, Lord. God will help you, brother. Let's cry out to Him. God, we cry out, help our brother! Lord, just minister to him. When you're through repenting, you can sit down when you're through. And just pray with me. Lord, forgive me for being simple, silly, easily seduced. Forgive me for being that group of people in Ezekiel 44 that wants the false prophets. Forgive me for living an unrighteous life. Forgive me for not wanting to crucify my flesh. Forgive me for wickedness. Forgive me for holding unforgiveness in my heart. Lord, would you please illumine my darkness? Forgive me for not being in the Word of God. Your commandment is a lamp, and your teaching is light. Lord, in Jesus' name, would you fill my body with your light? Lord, would you please forgive me for not being wise, not being cautious, not being careful of consequences? Lord, would you please forgive me for not judging correctly, not wisely separating truth from error? God, forgive me for falling after every wind of doctrine. Forgive me for going to the world for answers. God, forgive me for being naive and easily seduced. Forgive me for idolatry, anger, the sorrow that leads to death. Forgive me for proclaiming folly. Lord, forgive me for not concealing knowledge. Forgive me for displaying folly. God, forgive me for believing everything and not considering my steps. God, forgive me for being naive, which would cause me to inherit folly. I should have read this one. It says the prudent are crowned with knowledge. Well, in the spirit realm, you can't see a crown of knowledge with physical eyes. But demons and angels and God can see. If you're prudent, you have a crown in the spirit on your head. And the powers of darkness say, I better leave that one alone. You see, because the glory of God is that crown. That's exciting. I want a crown of knowledge. But it says that the drunkards of Ephraim in Isaiah 28, they're trodden underfoot. So Lord, forgive me for being a drunkard of Ephraim. It would cause me to be trodden underfoot. Lord, I want this crown of glory on my head. Forgive me for not closing my lips, keeping silent, so I could be considered wise. Forgive me for not having an ear that seeks knowledge. Forgive me for bucking and kicking against my mate when they're speaking truth to me. And forgive me for listening when I shouldn't listen and not listening when I should listen. Lord, forgive me for not hiding myself from evil. Lord, forgive me for not giving heed to your word so that I can increase in learning. Forgive me for neglecting your word. Forgive me for hating those that correct me. Forgive me for causing grief to my mother and father. And I forgive my sons and daughters for causing me grief. Forgive me for not winning souls. Forgive me for being right in my own eyes and not listening to your counsel. Forgive me for speaking rashly like the thrust of a sword. And that my tongue has not brought healing. Forgive me for not being a fountain of life to turn people aside from the snares of death. Forgive me for not walking with wise men so that I would be wise. Forgive me for being the companion of a fool. You know, you can't expect to walk in victory and walk with the turkeys. Right? Yeah. You want to soar with the eagles, quit hanging with the turkeys. And Lord, forgive me for being a turkey. Forgive me for not building my house on the rock. Forgive me for practicing lawlessness. God, forgive me that I have not had lips that preserve. Forgive me for being a fool and being arrogant and careless. Forgive me for not having a wise heart to be discerning. Lord, forgive me for being a spiritual drunk and just letting anybody lay hands on me. In Jesus' name, I break soul ties with every person who's ever laid hands on me and imparted anything but godliness to me. In Jesus' name. Lord, cause me to only let people who I know have holy hands to lay on me. Lord, in Jesus' name, forgive me for not having a sweet mouth. Forgive me for not winnowing the wicked and driving a threshing sledge over them. Lord, in Jesus' name, forgive me for not obeying you so I can have oil in my lamp. Forgive me for having eyes full of adultery and being foolish that would cause me to be killed. Lord, in Jesus' name, I make no provision for the flesh. I submit to you. I die to sin. I live to righteousness. I make no provision for the flesh. And Lord, I ask for the armor of light. Lord, will you bring down the armor of light upon me in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, everything I've confessed, I forgive my forefathers for not being prudent, for being simple and easily seduced, and being foolish virgins, or not even knowing you at all. And Lord, I forgive my forefathers for not training me up and training my forefathers up in the way I should go. I forgive every pastor I've ever had who has not taught the Word of God. And Lord, forgive me for sitting in wordless meetings and sitting and fellowshipping with people that are in witchcraft. And I just ask you to start with Adam and Eve and wash all the foolishness out of my bloodline. And I break generational curses, soul tie curses, cultural curses in the name of Jesus. Now, in Jesus' name, I command all simplicity, easily seduced, anger, bitterness, resentment, all spirits of harlotry has to go. Drunkenness, you have to go. In the name of Jesus, all spirits of rebellion, all spirits of fear, you have to go. All anger, all every demon that came into idolatry, you have to go. In Jesus' name, all spirits of holding on to your life, the spirit of fear that would cause us to let fear let go of our lives. Lord, forgive us for fear of letting go. That's not faith. That's unbelief. All spirits of fear have to go now in Jesus' name. All spirits that would cause them to be easily seduced, go in Jesus' name. All spirits of waywardness has to go. Adultery has to go. Fornication has to go. Lesbianism, homosexuality. We break generational curses, soul tie curses, cultural curses in the name of Jesus. We break the power of lack of diligence and the passivity and lukewarmness. We command you to leave now. Blow out in Jesus' name. Just go in Jesus' name. All spirits that would keep us from having knowledge, wisdom, understanding, go. All spirits that block us from moving out, go. All spirits of building your house on the sand, sandy foundations, leave in Jesus' name. We break your power. All spirits of insobriety and drunkenness, mocking spirits, brawling spirits, go in Jesus' name. All spirits of keeps us from ruling and reigning in Jesus' name. Scoffers, go. Hatred, go. Bitterness, unforgiveness, go in Jesus' name. Greed, you have to leave in the name of Jesus. We break your power. We break your power in Jesus' name. All spirits of blabbermouth, go in Jesus' name. All spirits of self-pity, go. Hurt has to go. Woundedness, you have to go. In Jesus' name. Spirits of darkness, bad eyes, you have to go in Jesus' name. Every spirit that's dimmed their lamp, go in Jesus' name. Lord, you said you give a lamp to your anointed. Turn on the lights, Lord. Turn on the lights in Jesus' name. Lord, we ask you to loose your light over this place. Loose your glory, Lord. We ask you to come upon every life in Jesus' name. Move in power, Lord, upon every life in Jesus' name. Praise your name, Lord. Praise your name. Praise your name. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Bless you, mighty God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Mighty God, mighty King. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many of you got some freedom? Put your hands up. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make His face shine upon you and give you more peace in Jesus' name. Tomorrow at 1, I'll be teaching the ladies, I think, unless God changes me, on how to forgive. We need to know how to forgive, don't we? Amen? Okay, we try. Okay, Lord, we ask you to bless the food, purify it and sanctify it. Thank you for it. Thank you for another day in America, another day to have the freedom to buy. Thank you for the money to buy gas even. We give you praise. Thank you that we have gas available and food available. Lord, forgive us for grumbling and complaining in Jesus' name. Fill me, Lord, with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. Amen. Bless you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.